Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says now's the time to reveal this book. Every Muslim should read this book. Every one of the cults should read this book. Every Jew should read this book. Every Christian should read this book. Don't you think every Christian should have read this book? And yet, this is the most neglected book in Christian churches. It's not taught. Because frankly, most of the pastors don't understand what it's saying. Because they have never studied the Old Testament.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We've been looking at chapter 22, the final chapter of the final book of Scripture. John the Apostle at this point has just been in awe from all he has witnessed and written down. Now the passage we're examining contains a phrase, "For the time is at hand." Exactly what does that mean? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Now's the Time.
He says, "For I am your fellow servant and of the brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book." What's his word to John? Worship God. When we talk about presentation, church, listen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service." Listen, "and do not be conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Now, church, listen. Because of the God we worship, John falls on his face. Because of the God that we worship, because of the God that we know, we are to present ourselves before him. My question to you is, how are we to present ourselves before God? When do you do that? How do you do that? Well, John falls down. Is John dead? No. He falls down. Did he willfully fall down? Yes. The word is actually he prostrated himself. He went face down. Christian, when was the last time you gave God opportunity to work in your life in such a way where you had to fall down? Has God touched your heart lately? Or have we become too sophisticated for that? Maybe worse yet, have we grown too old to fall down? When was the last time John falls down? And he worships because of the God we worship is worship worthy. Have you let the word sink in? Do you really believe that heaven is next for you? Do you really believe that God is on your side? Yesterday, Lisa and I, we were speaking with a woman who possibly her situation to her is overwhelmingly impossible. It can never be better. She says, "I love my husband. I love God, but I was molested in the past. I was destroyed as a child. And I want to give myself to my husband, but I can't do it." She's lamenting this, and her heart breaks for her. We hear this too often. "Is there hope for me?" she says. We grabbed her by the shoulders. And we said, "The Bible says that we are all now new creations in Christ. Start to see yourself brand new and look at your husband. He's brand new." And that verse also goes on to say that God wipes away the past. "Behold, the past is gone. All things have become new." And she said, "I tried that." And I said, "But have you prayed that into your life? Have you gotten up daily and prayed it into your life? No, I haven't. I will do that. She's desperate. She's in love with God. She's desperate. She's in love with her husband. She's desperate. She needs a change. She's desperate. Change has come. She just needs to take it into her life and stand on it as a living sacrifice. Church, what is it that is against you? What is it that's against me? We need to stand in the promises of God, who will never let us down. He will fulfill His word. He's promised. And He's not a man, the Bible says, that He should lie. And the Bible says, present yourself to God. You don't need to tiptoe up there and wonder, well, I don't know if you're going to, God. Stand there and say, God, I need you. Get me through this marriage. Get me through this child rearing. Get me through this work. Get me through this problem. Get me through this financial situation. He's faithful. Present yourself, what, a dead sacrifice? It says a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. God doesn't want you dead. God wants you alive. Yes, there are Christian martyrs in the world. That happens. It's increasing by the year. But for those who've been called to be alive, you and I, we're to live for Christ. And that is that we're to present ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do, Lord, nothing in this life, nothing what this world can give me, can take me away from your love. What, Romans chapter 8 says, shall separate me from the love of God? Church, you need to know how to answer that question. Because academically, you might say, now watch this, play along with me. You guys ready? What shall separate us from the love of God?
Nothing.
You say that here and now, but when you get alone, do you believe that? That's where our Christianity, that's where the rubber, so to speak, meets the road. He wants us to be living and living a sacrificial life before Him. This way. Lord, here I am. I'm doing the Romans 12, 1 and 2 thing, God. I'm coming to you. I'm giving you myself as a living sacrifice. Here I am. And God says, all right, watch what we do now. I saw a cute thing the other day. You know, it's the time of the year that it is, all the bugs are eating. You know, spring came and all the blossoms came. All the beautiful buds and blossoms came on your plants at home. And then a couple of weeks after that, what else came? Every flower bloom-eating bug there is. So then you go down to the store, and what do you buy? You buy a small nuclear device to blow these guys up, okay? Last night I'm sitting in the house and I'm going, man, something stinks. And I get up and I look, and Lisa's at the back door. She's at the back door with a can of Raid. The wind was blowing. And the door is open. And she's spraying the Raid to kill the ants. But the breeze, the smell of the Raid's coming right into the house. And it caught my attention by the smell. And the second thing that caught my attention is I looked down at Sophie, our little Yorkshire Terrier, who's only about that, you know, about that far off the ground. And down in her level, you could see her going, this is not good. Man, I got over there and looked, and Lisa's killing bugs. Well, you know what? You go to the store, and you can get that stuff and just pump it all over your yard, and, you know, that's the man's way of doing it, I think, by the way. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Fill it up, got a mask on, gloves. We look like Darth Vader. Bugs! Or now, there's the more gentler way. But I thought it was pretty cool. You can buy now big boxes of ladybugs and praying mantis and turn them loose in your yard. One kills everything. Sometimes I found out even your plants. But if you release the praying mantis, that guy goes out there in the way that he does. He begins to attack the bugs. A living sacrifice. He's living, and they're the sacrifice. Works out great. Works out super. But listen, God wants us to live for His glory. What do you do? What are you going to get up tomorrow to go do? Some of you go to work right after Sunday service. What are you going to go do? Do it as a living sacrifice to God. That doesn't mean you show up to work. Oh, I got you, Pastor Jack. I got you. I'm just spiritually beat up. I'm bloody and I show up just to survive. That's not it. You show up a living sacrifice. Here I am, boss. All right. Well, you've got to do this today. Praise the Lord. Living sacrifice. Present yourself. When you show up to work tomorrow, when you show up to your husband today or to your wife today, present yourself. You're doing it unto the Lord, you know. Makes a big difference. Point number two, found in verse 10. Now's the time for us to proclaim the word, or to the world, I should say, Jesus Christ. Now's the time for us to proclaim to the world Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, John says, he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. I'm going to ask every one of you who own a Bible, will you mark that? You say, I don't mark my Bible. I want you to mark it today. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Let me give you the clinical teaching of this first. Two things are key as to what is being said regarding this verse. Number one, it's time to proclaim the Bible. It's time to reveal what God's word says. Who says so? Jesus says so. The Bible says so. The messenger says so. Proclaim the word of God. Do not seal up the prophecy of this book. Specifically, we're talking the book of Revelation. Collectively, the Bible. Watch this. Number two, it's time to do it now. How do we know that? For the time is at hand. Two important words are meant here in this proclamation. Verse 10 teaches us this, that by showing them, that is the world, who Jesus really is. I'll come back to this important message or admonition to proclaim the word of God, and now's the time this way. We must show them who Jesus is. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Why? Chapter 1 of Revelation says it is the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The world portrays Jesus as just somebody else, doesn't it? Doesn't the world portray Jesus as just some really good guy, a very good religious teacher, just like all the others? That's the way the world puts Jesus. The church often portrays Jesus as just being on our side. God's on our side. Well, the second thing, or I should say the third thing is, Christians often portray Jesus as our best friend. He's our friend. Like Jesus belongs to the Christian club, and he's not concerned about the rest of the world. So the world forms an opinion. And this is very dangerous because, listen, the Bible says now's the time to reveal this book. Every Muslim should read this book. Every one of the cults should read this book. Every Jew should read this book. Every Christian should read this book. Don't you think every Christian should have read this book? And yet, this is the most neglected book in Christian churches. It's not taught. Because frankly, most of the pastors don't understand what it's saying because they have never studied the Old Testament. This is a very serious thing. Because this book reveals who Jesus Christ really is. You see, we need to reveal to the world who Jesus really is, and we'll never quite know who he is unless we understand the fact that the Bible demands of us as Christians, don't seal up this book. I'm not going to name names, but there are denominations and there are churches that believe the book, this book should be kept away from you. Can you look again at verse 10? The Bible says, do not seal up this book. If you do not teach this book in your church, you are fighting against the Holy Spirit himself. Do not seal up the words or the prophecy of this book. Why? Because the time is now. The time is at hand. Verse 10 also, it's time for us to proclaim to the world Jesus Christ by giving them the love of God. Verse 10 says, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the book for the prophecies at hand. Interesting thing is this, when it comes to sealing, do not seal. The word means in the Greek to stop it. Stop sealing up because it's the revelation of Christ. Why is that important? Because the book of Revelation, contrary to popular belief, reveals to mankind that God loves them. Jesus is the one who provides for the way out. It's Jesus who has offered to them salvation. Don't seal up the book, but preach the book. Preach the word. And then look at verse 10 at the end of verse 10, for the time is at hand. That would mean to us by looking for each day's divine appointment, the time is at hand. Church, this is a here and now verse. And quickly, I need to move on, but it's a here and now verse since the time is at hand. That means today, right now, today, every day, we need to be in the mindset that Christ wants to use you and I, the Christian, today, tomorrow, the day after. Church, watch this. In 3 months from now, on a Tuesday, God should be able, he should be anticipating, he should be expecting complete cooperation from you and I on any given day. That's what this word means. Church, watch this. This is what's fun. Where will you and I be 6 months from now? 6 months and 3 days. 6 months and 9 days. 1 year and 4 days. Where will you and I be? We don't need to know where we'll be. But this we can be certain of if we are willing to present ourselves to the Lord. We will be doing exactly what God's called us to do. Do you understand? Are you with me? But are you willing? Are we willing to do that? That is so very important. And then we end with the third point this morning, found in verse 11. Now's the time for us to practice our lives before the Lord. Now's the time for us to practice our lives before the Lord. He says here in verse 11, he says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. I'm going to ask you to jot down a few things. We need to practice our lives before the Lord. And how do we do that? Number one, we need to practice by getting before God daily in our lives. Daily in our lives. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. For we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. He's talking to us now. And being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, that is, God is at work in our lives daily, every day, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1 goes on to say, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, let us not lose heart. Church, we need to practice God's presence in our lives by getting before Him daily. I've said this to you before. I don't know if you believe it. But if you have missed 5 days or 5 months of your daily reading, start today. Don't give up. Don't get tired. Don't quit. Don't throw it in. Is there a spiritual cloud that's over your life? Don't give up. Don't let it take control. Sometimes you just hang on, pray, get together with believers, but don't let it take control. The Bible warns us, and I want to say this so loud and so clear, don't give up. That in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, listen, let us consider one another in order to stir up good works and love, not forsaking the assembling together as some have done. In other words, don't give up on going to church. Don't do that. Don't stop going to church. That's what that means. Get together with believers. He goes on to say, but exhort one another as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains any sacrifice for our sins. In other words, we fellowship, we get together. No, I'm just going to give up. You've got no other place to go for salvation. You've got no other hope. In these last days, hang in there. Don't quit. Don't think for a moment that God can't forgive you or He won't. He will. And finally, we end right here. Practice by letting go and letting God take control of your life. Let God take control of your life. How do we do that? I want to give you this verse. And I saved it for last. It's here in verse 11, but it's how it's put. It says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. What does that mean? We need to practice our lives before the Lord by practicing the setting of our eyes upon Jesus Christ, upon the finish line. This is a horrific word in verse 11. Allow me to put it in your mind's eye this way. It's downtown Philadelphia, 1772. And there's a town crier, and he goes to the middle of the city, and he rings the bell. He clangs the bell. Dung, 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 dung. He rings it and rings it. You know, you guys all know what happens 5 minutes before every worship service at this church? You know, the bells ring for 5 minutes, 5 minutes before worship. Did you know that's an American tradition in American history? Did you know that? It calls the town to gather. You can't even argue that it's a religious practice. It's an American heritage practice. The clanging, the clanging. And in this case that I'm painting before you, the heralder comes up and says, "All ye town folk, lend me your ears." Everyone's listening. This is what's put before the reader here in Revelation. Hear ye, all that are gathered. Time is near up. It's just about over. That being the case, that being the situation we find ourselves in, it is now time for those who are filthy, stay filthy. To those of you who are lost, stay lost. To those of you who are condemned, stay condemned. To those of you who are righteous, be righteous. To those of you who are ready, stay ready. And they might have said back then, before 1776, "This in the name of the King of England." And off they go. You know what? People stood there and they looked at one another. Do you know what naturally happened in history? They began to look at each other and they began to quietly go off on their way, having been admonished and having been encouraged. Those of you who are ready, right on, stay ready. Encouragement. Those of you who are not ready, you would have gotten ready by now. You've heard enough of it. The word's been preached to you so much, you're apparently not going to accept them. Stay unready. You who are holy, keep pressing on. Those of you who are playing with God and are unholy, why don't you just stay unholy? Time's up. It's over. It's your business. End of story.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study of Revelation chapter 22 and verses 8 through 11. It's a study called Now's the Time. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we look at part of the last chapter of the last book of the Holy Bible. Now, since we are at the close of this apocalyptic account, we've decided to extend a special offer. Pastor Jack's entire uncut series through Revelation is now all on one MP3 CD. It's a total of 72 studies on this one MP3 CD and simply called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's yours for a gift of any amount to Real Radio. In other words, you financially support Real Radio in whatever way you can, and we'll send right out to you this excellent series, 72 studies, all on one MP3 CD. Just ask for it by name, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you can secure your own in one of three ways: call, click, or write. You can visit us at www.realradioactive.org and click on the button that says Donate Now, realradioactive.org. Or contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org as well. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.